Hello, and welcome to Bostonian Rap. My name is Rachel Meiselman, and you are listening to me on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. This is Boston's community radio station. We're going to go to a quick disclaimer, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to jump right on in to tonight's show.
The following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio at bnnmedia.org.
Hello, and welcome back to Bostonian Rap. You are listening to me on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. So, my goodness, where do I begin? Well, why don't I start at the beginning? Nikki Haley suspended her campaign, and it was, I don't know how many months too late. Now, let me be clear. There are, and I've maintained this, there are people here in Massachusetts who were heavily involved with supporting the Nikki Haley for President campaign. And I like them very much. They are very competent people. They're intelligent people. They're very personable people. And that's that. I increasingly see being an independent Republican as the path forward because, you know, there were people who were Trump supporters and they wanted to know if I am a Trump supporter. And it's not something that I need to shout from the rooftops. It's quite frankly my business. If I share it, then that's fine. But the people whom I support, ultimately, that's my business. And again, if I do share it, I'm not under any obligation to really kind of scream it from the rooftops. You support Trump or you don't support Trump. Now, obviously, there are various degrees of support, but what exactly am I going to get if I'm a super duper trooper Trump supporter? I've been a supporter since 2015. He, of course, announced his run for president that year. And by September, I said to myself, I'm a Trump supporter. And he actually had come to Massachusetts. He was in Lowell, and I went to see him there. I like him. There are reasons why I like him. And what is interesting for me is that the people who want to know if you like Trump, and if you don't like Trump, you're a rhino. Those are the same people who can't articulate exactly why they like Trump. Isn't that something? Or perhaps they have not been a Trump supporter as long as I have. Again, it's not something I have to reiterate. It's not even something I have to share. But I have and I do. And I don't have to be loud about it. I said I support Trump. If I've been supporting him since 2015, I think it's pretty safe to say I'm a pretty strong, steadfast supporter. But what does it mean to support Trump? What does it mean to support Trump and be a Republican in Massachusetts? How does that grow our party? What does that do to expand our base? What does that do to make our ideas more appealing? Well, the answer is nothing. Not because Massachusetts is so blue and, well, maybe if we were down in Alabama, then that would be one thing, or if we were down in Mississippi or Tennessee. Look, I think that you can run a very conservative campaign here in Massachusetts, be sincere, you can be authentic, but you have to be able to connect the dots. You have to be able to connect your support for Trump to the issues in the district. And you have to use the jargon here. You have to use the lingo, the language. I mean, depending on the audience, it might be specific language, hence jargon, or it might be just everyday folks like you and I. And then, you know, in that case, language, lingo. But the point is you have to be able to connect the dots, and you have to couch it in language that's recognizable and relatable and understandable to the audience at hand. Listen, I'm a very conservative Republican. I don't like change just for the sake of change. Yet I have Democrats rooting for me. And they're not necessarily blue dogs either. I can share it now because it's behind me. I ran for state committee, and unfortunately I came up short. But I'm immensely proud of the race that I ran, because I ran as a Trump supporter who is available for Nikki Haley supporters, who is available for supporters of Mike Pence, DeSantis, Vivek. I think I can just call him by his first name, right? he's a bit of a character, and he certainly did a lot to cultivate that rock star status, right? But my point, of course, is I ran as me, but I understood the purview of the role of a state committee woman and the role of a state committee woman, and I try to explain it on the People's Platform back in December. There was an episode that I did that some of you might have seen. And I spoke to it again when I did another People's Platform in February. And then I did, of course, Vibes with Viv, with Vivian. You know, she's great. She's a wonderful radio host here. And I really try to emphasize and explain in detail what it is a state committee woman does, because what has been paralyzing the Republican Party is this bogus feud. Well, it's the conservatives versus the moderates. Well, now some of the moderates are calling themselves conservatives. So now those that had self-styled themselves as conservatives are now calling themselves the real Republicans. Okay, this is my position. If you are a registered Republican, if you're registered with the Republican Party, you're a Republican. That's it. I'm not going to sit there and try to tell somebody why he or she is not a Republican. Not if I am trying to build the party. Not if I'm acting in the role of a state committee woman. And that's the point I try to make throughout my campaign. And unfortunately, not enough people were receptive to that message. And that's okay. That's okay. Because I think that at the least, I think people came away from this race with a better idea about how they can get connected to the Massachusetts Republican Party. I think they came away with an understanding not even a better understanding, but an understanding of what it is the state committee does. What is its purpose? And I think that's important. And in some ways, that makes my run, it made my run worth it. But this bogus feud, let's get back to that. You know, as I said, there are people who played a big role in Nikki Haley's campaign here in Massachusetts. I'll be honest, because I generally am. Generally, shall we say, candid, frank. I won't say who, but not too long ago, I was chatting with a Boston politician, and he was kind of standoffish. I mean, maybe it was because of some of the things I had been saying at that point in time. Whatever. We had a nice enough conversation. And at one point, to kind of maybe break the ice, I said, well, you know, I'm candid. You know, I'm Frank. And he's like, ooh, Frank, that's your middle name. So I stand by that. So if I say that there are or there were some people connected with the Nikki Haley campaign whom I really like, I mean it. Now, did I like everyone connected with the campaign? No, not at all. But there were some people that I really, really liked, and they're fabulous people. They're great. They're competent. They know what they're doing, and they reflect back on the party very nicely. Maybe that's a clunky way of just simply saying that they are a credit to the Republican Party. They are a credit to the Commonwealth, and of course, a credit to the communities, or the community that they're in. I'm thinking of one person, Representative Paul Frost. He's fantastic. He's terrific. Are you kidding me? He's so smart. He's very well versed. And a lot of people, and this is because we have one party rule, you know, you have a lot of people, and unfortunately, my Democratic friends, please forgive me, but you know what I'm talking about. Because there's a one party rule, particularly here in Suffolk County, you have some Democrats who get into positions or who have been in positions for a very long time, and they simply don't know what they're talking about. They know lingo, right? So, remember a few minutes ago, I was talking about lingo and that if you connect the dots and you make a point and you argue it logically and you couch it in the appropriate lingo, you can go a long ways. Well, because the Democratic Party is a supermajority, you know, there are some elected officials that can get away with saying utter tosh. Just absolute rubbish nonsense. But if they use the right lingo, it's like, oh, okay. You know. But Paul Frost really knows what he's talking about. He's fantastic. I love him. He's a laugh. He's a great guy. And he recently, I want to try to get this right. Now, of course, you have State Senator Peter Durant, who's fabulous, absolutely fabulous, very sharp man, very, very good man. And he proposed amending the right to shelter law. So Massachusetts is unique in that, you know, families come here, they're homeless, we give them housing, we give them accommodation. Now, we have this influx of migrants, and the situation is not sustainable. It's simply not. And so very much we have to very much give credit, kudos to Senator Peter Durant for articulating very clearly and cogently why we need to amend the right to shelter law. And State Representative Paul Frost just said that we should limit it to, you know, housing, shelter to families. I believe he said, I want to get the wording right. Let me just pull up here. Just giving a quick peek. Here we go. Representative Paul Frost offered an amendment to limit emergency shelter services to residents who have been in the state for no less than 6 months. That's just, I hate to say it, but it's just common sense. We don't really have it. And not that all Republicans are endowed with common sense. But I think that, unfortunately, for all the wonderful Democrats that there are in office, and there are a number of them, you know, some people might not appreciate me saying that, but it's the truth. There are a number of very good Democratic public officials, public servants. They're great. But unfortunately, we have the loudest voices in the room. And so just like we have extremists on the political right, we have extremists on the political left. And then we also have people who, quite frankly, aren't qualified for the offices that they hold. And so problems have been unnecessarily created because these individuals don't know what they're doing, because they don't have the bona fides to hold the office that they do, and so problems are created, and then the solutions that are offered are just ridiculous. So that only exacerbates the problem and our problems, and often it creates new ones. So let me give you a concrete example. Maura Healey is talking about, well, in Washington, it's an issue, it's a problem, because, you know, the fighting, because they can't get things done, because they're asleep at the wheel. We need money, we need funding from Washington. Okay, sure. But how much funding do we need? How much funding are we going to need if we have a steady flow of migrants? So it's not just about money from Washington. I mean, we could certainly use it, but if we keep on having people come into the state, how is that supposed to work? I mean, that doesn't even, I'm sorry, with all due respect to the governor, to Her Excellency, that doesn't make sense to me. It's, you can't place the blame on Washington if there's something that can be done here to alleviate the stress on our infrastructure, and you're not doing it. Yes, of course. Washington, you know, the denizens are fiddling while Rome is burning, so to speak. We're not getting the money that we need. And more importantly, Biden isn't doing anything to secure the border. He's not doing anything at all. But then that's when we have to start thinking about what we ourselves can do. We can't keep on absorbing people. And of course, where do you think most people are being housed? Right here in Boston. And it's amazing to me because we can find places to put migrants. Now, mind you, the Melnia Cass Recreational Complex is an absolutely horrible place to place people who are homeless, because it's not equipped for that purpose. And then there's a building on Farnsworth Street, which is in the Seaport. I think of it as South Boston, because it is South Boston, but it's also like a city within a city. But yeah, Seaport, there's some empty buildings, and one was identified for some inexplicable reason as appropriate and suitable to place migrants. And this place, it's not properly outfitted either. People can't be put into buildings where there are no showers or there's not adequate restroom facilities. It's just kitchen facilities. I just, putting people out of sight is not the same as taking care of them. And so it's interesting, funny, as in ha 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 ha, that, you know, we're told we need to act with compassion. And we have the ever dramatic Tanya Fernandez Anderson, who will emote during a Boston City Council meeting about the migrants. But why doesn't she react when these people are put in to accommodation, lots of air quotes there, that doesn't allow them their dignity? So we have people sleeping on the floor in Logan Airport, which is completely unacceptable. And we have people who are staying in now two additional places in Boston. And it's just not suitable. You have two locations that have been repurposed only insofar as people now living there. But to outfit it with what is needed so people can, you know, be clean, can have some dignity, or any of that, no, we don't have that. So it's just, it's really, really frustrating. So everything cannot be placed on Washington. There is plenty that we can do. Plenty. Why don't I hit the rewind button? There is definitely something that we can do here to ease the stress on our infrastructure. Right? So to get back to my original point, I like some people who don't like Trump. We're all Republicans at the end of the day, right? And I think that that's a very good idea. I think that that is putting forth a viable solution that's desperately needed. And Paul Frost is no less Republican than I am, because I like Trump and he wanted Nikki Haley. I mean, to suggest otherwise, it's completely batty. It's completely insane. I'm sorry, but it is. I don't get to decide who is a real Republican. He doesn't. Again, if we are registered as Republicans, we're Republican. Now, I understand if someone, Republican gets elected, he or she, the conduct within the capacity of that office may not always exhibit what would be considered Republican behavior on all occasions, but I'm not ready to say that someone is a rhino. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I think I might have used that term a little bit, but not too much. I mean, it really has been a word that's been pretty much absent from my vocabulary. When I talk about using it, like maybe, oh my goodness, like 12 to 14 years ago, maybe more. And then it was just very, 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 very sparingly, because it's just, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what it means anymore. And And if no progress is being made, and if the party's not being built, and if candidates are not being recruited, then I don't see where people get off telling others that they're not really Republican. Are you doing anything to build the party? Because if you're not, clam up, sit down, and remain seated until further notice. And that's exactly how I feel. Now, my race, it was very much, you know, you had one candidate who represented one, was carrying the banner for one faction. And you had another candidate who was carrying the banner for the other faction. And, you know, I've said, I shared support, as did one of these other two candidates, for Amy Carnevale, but I didn't do it because I'm aligned with this particular part of the party. I did it because, very concretely, I think she's been acting very well. She's proved herself to be quite capable in the role of chair. You know, just like I can say why I like Trump, I can say why I like Amy Carnevale. It's not because I'm a moderate. It's not because I'm a reasonable Republican. I don't want to get into that because, you know, there might be some people who feel compelled to align themselves with the other faction. And they're not unlikable or unreasonable. They're not. But the point is, I in my race, I pledge to work with everybody. And I think that's really the only way forward. You know, we think about our communities and what kind of lifestyle we want. I want to be able to work hard, but have something for it. Something to show for it. At present, that's not the case. I work. I don't feel like I have a lot left over. It's not easy to save money. I go to the store and without wanting to, I spend a lot of money. And I don't walk out with a whole heck of a lot. I go into stores, smaller stores, chain stores, and everything's locked up. And if it's not locked up and I'm walking by aisles going through, you know, certain sections like, you know, makeup, toiletries, the shelves are empty. And I'm tired of this. You know, the city, I live in Boston, it just seems dirty. Not seems, it is. It's neglected. And the other part of what is in my district is Revere and Winthrop. So it's what's called the third, the newly formed third Suffolk district. It used to be Suffolk and Middlesex district, and it included Cambridge. So Cambridge was cut out. And so the district became Third Suffolk District. But what's funny to me, is, you know, you had the two other candidates and they were talking about just basic, like typical cookie cutter GOP talking points. And don't get me wrong, I did a little bit of that myself, but I always try to connect the dots. And I'm concerned because I don't see the party growing over the next 4 years because the term of state committee man and woman is 4 years. You vote for a state committee man and woman when you vote for president. I don't see things changing. And I just feel like the Third Suffolk District is at the forefront of so many of these issues that we're talking about, issues that have become our primary talking points. So if we talk about securing the border and then we're going to connect the dots like I love to do, right in the third district, right in East Boston, we have migrants. They just keep on coming in. What the heck are we supposed to do? This should have been discussed during the state committee race, but of course it wasn't, because people were too busy fighting. So all the oxygen in the room, like, so there was really little space for anything else, and certainly anything of substance. But we have people coming in right in Logan Airport. I mean, people were talking nonstop about the Melnia Cass Recreational Complex over in Roxbury. But very few people were talking about how the migrants that were placed in this complex center that was repurposed, and it's not going to be temporary. It's just not. But that's another story for another time. But those migrants, they came from Logan Airport, right in East Boston. I mean, can we talk about that? Or are we going to fight about who's a real Republican? It's just, I'm tired because after we get through with the performative politics, there's nothing. There's a big fat zero. So if people want to put on a show and they want to do a round of blaming and finger pointing, have at it. But at the very least, afterwards, be prepared to talk about the issues. Nah, none of that. And I think that, you know, although members of the state committee, they're not elected officials. So it's important to remember the purview of the office. But I think that there is definitely space, if you will, to talk about the issues. And I think because you are the conduit, you are the connection, you know, liaison, if you will, between the people, the communities, the respective communities, municipalities that you represent, and the state leadership, you have to be prepared to talk about the issues in a way that's meaningful. And that's why I keep on coming back to the phrase, connect the dots. So why didn't anybody else in this race connect the dots? And the migrants that were placed over in Seaport, where do you think they came from? They came from Logan Airport too. We're still not going to talk about it. And by the way, Lydia Edwards, State Senator Lydia Edwards, she needs to talk about this. She needs to reach out to communities. She needs to have briefing sessions with communities. She needs to have listening sessions. Something where she is communicating with her constituents, because Boston's at a breaking point. Listen, we have seniors who are eating cat food. We have people who are living in conditions. They're not homeless, but they're living in abject conditions because they're making money, they have a job, but even if they wanted to, they can't really afford to move, because you're talking about first month's, last month's security. A lot of people can't come up with that. Particularly the rents. Are you crazy? Seriously? I mean, I'm just throwing that out. I'm not talking to anyone in particular, but it's oh my gosh, it's insane. The rents are exorbitant. They are astronomical. In Boston, Boston is one of the most expensive rental markets in the nation. I think we're number two now, maybe number three. But you were right up there. And Revere, Revere is super expensive as well. I looked at some rents in Revere. which of course is in the 3rd Suffolk District too, as I mentioned, Revere, Winthrop, and then some parts of Boston. I think quite a few parts of Boston, but whatever. So Revere, I looked at the rents. The rents, they're pretty high. So we have people living in conditions. We have some property management companies. We have some unscrupulous landlords, and they're just fully taking advantage of all this. You know, and add to that, all these housing advocates, most of their bandwidth is used for keeping people in their homes. So they don't really talk too much about the quality of those homes. And so I think that we have a rise in what I would call slum landlords. So it's just, it's remarkably frustrating, absolutely unbelievably infuriating that we can find space, albeit not appropriate space, and we can worry about people coming to Massachusetts, but we can't worry about people who are already here, who are from here, who came here and put down roots. I have a huge problem with that. And of course we want to be welcoming. And of course we want to be compassionate. And of course we want to be sensitive and we want to help people who are coming from desperate conditions. But if we're not even taking care of people who are right here, how much are we supposed to do? How much can we do for people who are not from here? We need to take care of our business vis-a-vis people who are already here. And then people who come here, we try to help them as much as we can so that they can lead a life with dignity. We want that. Of course we do. Any decent person would. But we can't have a steady stream. But the point, of course, is that the migrant situation, and that's a catch-all phrase, by the way. You know, people are saying, oh, well, they're asylum seekers, not all of them. And we don't really know too much about how these people have been vetted. We don't. So like I said, Lydia Edwards needs to get on this. She needs to talk to her constituents. She needs to let people know if any, are the developments. I mean, people just keep on coming into Logan Airport and she's not saying a peep. How is that even possible? It's not. She's got to say something. But yes, right here in the 3rd Suffolk District, that's certainly forgive the hackneyed expression, hot button issue. And I feel like the 3rd Suffolk District is very much on the forefront. And then you have, you know, other issues. We have a methadone mile now in the 3rd Suffolk District. I mean, there's the original methadone mile, an open-air drug market. You can get any drug you want. But now we have another one right in the 3rd Suffolk District. None of the other candidates even know that. And if you share that information with them, you'd have to sit down and really kind of get into the nitty-gritty because the minutia, because it'd really be a learning session. And I don't think that's appropriate. And again, because the 3rd Suffolk District is on the forefront, it's very much, I feel like, when you're looking at areas, when you're looking at regions, districts, I think it's one that you are going to look at because, again, it's like all these different topics that preoccupy us, they're playing out in this district, in my district. I'm going to go to a quick break and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more And I'm going to do a little bit of a pivot, but not too much of a pivot.
The preceding commentary.
I'm Scarlett Johansson.
The preceding
my family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back. So we had a little bit of ad, a little bit of an advertisement there, and a little bit of jazz. I like to slip music in when I can. sometimes at the beginning, sometimes in the middle, sometimes not at all. I mean, sometimes I don't get it in at all, but I like my music. It soothes me. to kind of jump back to what I was talking about, it's just, I don't know how many times it can be said, I don't know how many ways it can be said, but we need a Republican presence. And I'm tired of the performative politics, and I'm tired of the narcissistic. It's more than selfish. The narcissistic few that are putting their wants and desires ahead of the needs and the concerns of the many. I mean, that's got to change. Or it doesn't have to change, but then, the Republican Party will be pretty much extinct in this part of the state. And as it is, I have been sharing nonstop, 4.76% as of February 1st, 2023. That was the percentage of registered Republican voters in Suffolk County. So it's just, we have to change. We have to change. It's not, this isn't sustainable. And it's not sustainable because what's happening, because we are a one-party state, that's not sustainable. So we need a means by which we can counterpunch what is happening. Another big issue is stores closing. And as I've said on a previous show, Walgreens closing, pulling out of neighborhoods, it has nothing to do with racism. There is rampant theft, and that needs to be discussed. We have addicts who are going into these stores, and because we're soft on crime, they go in and they steal and they steal and they steal. They'll go back sometimes over the course of several days and just steal. And of course, that impacts all of us. I go in as a consumer. I can't find a lot of what I want. The shelves are empty. Everything is locked up. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to go into my community or adjacent neighborhoods or other neighborhoods in Boston or adjacent municipalities or any municipalities for that matter and find shelves that are bare and everything is locked up because of rampant theft. And then, of course, you have people who just, because anything goes and there's no kind of accountability. Because, elected officials, they're people just like us, and they serve at our will and pleasure. Just like us, they put one foot in front of the other to move forward. However, that having been said, as public figures, they are still held to and rightly so, a higher standard. And if they are not going to embrace the concepts of transparency and accountability, the everyday person doesn't feel the need to do so either. And so we have people stealing. Let me give you an example. I was in Marshall's. There's one in downtown Boston, parts of which are in the 3rd Suffolk District. And I was standing, you know, looking at something. Maybe it was my phone. And all of a sudden, I felt someone brush up against me. And I turned to say, well, gee, you know, you could have said, excuse me. But I immediately realized why that wasn't going to happen, because there were two girls, high school age, the both of them, and they were moving at a good clip. Why were they moving so quickly? Because they were stealing something. And the people who work in Marshall's, they can't really do anything about it. So we're soft on crime. We have, in addition to migrants, we have a number of addicts, and people just send them to Boston. And then, of course, we have some of our own now. I mean, we always have, but the numbers are increasing. And so the upshot of this is that these businesses, and they are businesses, they're taking a huge hit. And so it's easy to talk about racism, because then you don't have to do anything but emote. You don't have to present any facts. You just talk about racism, and you talk about racism against people of color as if there's no other kind of racism. And then everyone says, oh my gosh, that's so horrible. What is Walgreens doing? And as I said in a previous show, well, you can't do that to the hood. Well, as I said also in the previous show, the hood can't do that to Walgreens. And people got to stand up and say something. And they got to call these ridiculous elected officials out, like Councilor Tanya Fernandez Anderson, like Councilor Julia Mejia, who are going to, like U.S. Representative Ayanna Pressley, who want to attribute this, these closures to racism. No, it's about rampant theft. Come on. But I talk about the 3rd Suffolk District because we're having problems here, too. So there are two CVSs, and there's one closer to Maverick Square, you know, in East Boston. There's another one, you know, in the Orion Heights section of East Boston. And the one in the Orion Heights section, you'll get a lot of people coming in from Winthrop, because it's very, 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 very close to the Winthrop line. I mean, you could just literally just like poof and you're in Winthrop. Well, that one closes at 10, but the one that was that's closer to Maverick Square used to close at 11. Well, it's actually, I said used to, because now it closes at 10 o'clock as well. And why? Well, one of the reasons, if not the reason, is because of the crime and people, you know, trying to steal things. It's, we need people to stand up and say, you know what, that's not right. We need someone to stand up and say, that's absolutely absurd to blame it on racism when we know that people are stealing left, right, and center. But we don't talk about the issues, do we? We just talk about what side, as Republicans, what side we're aligned with. And it's old. Let me tell you something. It is super duper old. Because the people who want to talk about the different sides the most, again, they're the ones who are not doing anything to grow the party. And they can say with words one thing, but when I talk, I'm going to use numbers, and that tells the story. When you take numbers and you present them in their appropriate, the full, correct context, That tells the story. Anyone can say anything with words, but when you have numbers and you're telling the full story, you're not presenting them in a way that doesn't tell, you know, the full story, the full narrative. What can be said? Numbers, words. It's a lot harder to lie with numbers that are presented in the full context than words. Because people say things like, well, you know, we're making progress and this happened and then we did this and then this is going to happen and this looks promising. No, I'm sorry. As of February 1st, 2023, there were only 4.76% of voters that were registered as Republican. Boom. There's nothing else to talk about. I mean, what else can be said? But people want to keep on fighting. And that's the problem with politics. And I said I'm going to do a bit of a pivot. I think that, and here it is, it's something that's bigger than the Republican Party in this state. It comes down to human nature. And people like power. And people like what comes with power, status and money. And some of the most obnoxious, nasty, stupid, narcissistic people that you ever want to meet are politicians. If something's going on and it's not about them, they're going to act up. They got to do something to let you know that, well, I'm still here. And I think that that's really kind of, if I like jump back to the example of the Massachusetts Republican Party, you have people who are just full of themselves. You have people who have massive egos. You have people who are narcissistic. Because there aren't too many other explanations as to why people would argue nonstop, put on performances without any deliverables to show, without any real talking points, without any substance. I really do think that politics remains, you know, that particular world, it remains one of the best places for people to really make a difference, a positive difference. A policy can be crafted, laws are passed. Platforms, you know, offices can be used as bully pulpits. But unfortunately, a lot of times ego gets in the way. And that's probably the nicest word I can think of, ego. But relative to the Massachusetts Republican Party, it's really, I feel like we're at really a funny kind of time. And it's kind of really do or die. You know, the party either gets its act together. And I think, again, Amy Carnevale is doing a very good job. Chairman Carnevale is doing a good job. But when I say the party getting the act together, I'm speaking more broadly, like, you know, others and people who want to adhere to this faction or that faction. It's not a recipe for success. Why don't we leave it at that? But that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, I look forward to hanging out with you next week. Bye-bye for now.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily use of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.